Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Snickerdoodle
shortbread, touching up bars.
How many
cheeks in the cookie jar?
One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the row.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Yes, indeed. Received with gratitude. It's time to check in and remind ourselves who we are. Because once we know who we are, everything else is what it is.
I am great. I am wonderful, I am whole, I am peace, I am here, I am strong, I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God, I am you, I am healed, I am love, I am great, I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
You are, yes I am, yes we are. And because we know who we are, because we know we're free, we're waking up, we're doing things differently. We are dreaming heaven on earth. We are awakening. Niten with
Ava
Mom. We'll be back.
To the calling of the mystic awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Chidananda, oh, Shanti.
beckoning in the oneness of it all. Everybody here, part of each other, sister and brother, rising in love. Oh, Shanti, Satchidananda. Oh, Shanti. Oh, Shanti, Satchidananda. Oh, Shanti.
Awakening. And if one person is doing it, we are all awakening. Now you can join the crowd, enjoy the vibration, and allow the vibration of people who are doing it consciously to support you, to make the journey easier. Or you can get dragged. Because it's really simple. Let go or get dragged. Let go of the past and embrace the new. Miten with his wife, Deva Pramol. Awakening. We are awakening, you know. Just look around. Look at everything that's going on. No matter what you see is a reflection, is a reminder that we are awakening. Even the conversation we're having right now, the conversation we're going to have later, putting the power back in your heart. Connecting you with the power that is already there, that is already you. But no matter what you're moving through, dealing with, addiction, health challenge, financial challenge, you can heal it now by embracing the seen and the unseen world, recognizing that there's so much going on that you can't see. That is awakening. Relying on just what you can see, what you can touch, what you can smell, what you can hear, what you can feel. Just that, oh, you know, it's okay. But you really want to do something, start embracing what you don't see with your physical eyes, what you can't hear with your physical ears. Only with the inner eyes and the inner ears to hear the voices of your ancestors, the voices of your guides, to hear your own soul, to hear the truth. The truth that sets you free. And by listening to that inner wisdom, ancient wisdom, you begin dreaming heaven on earth. Yes, this thing called life is exciting. This thing called life is adventurous. This thing called life sometimes is like, oh my God, why? But you know, there is a part of you that chose this. So enjoy the ride. Let go. Get dragged, because we're awakening. So you have, you have to let go of what's the stories and all the things that are keeping you stuck. Or energetically, you're going to get dragged, and it's going to feel painful. Mitan and Deva Pramol, their website address is devapramolandmitan.com. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins, where change is inspired, and you can't help but make a difference. Because once the breath of God breathed itself, herself, himself through you, you will be different. You will be changed vibrationally. You'll be somebody else, even if your mind's struggling to catch up. And in that change, in that difference, you get to inspire others, get to live life fully. And it helps if you're willing, if you allow it, surrender to it, because there is so much more for you to experience. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. I am is your host. That's right. I am is hosting the show. And the I am presence is uniquely expressing as Life Coach Ade, the knotted professor, the metaphysical rebel, the one that people say, you're interesting. Yeah. The I am presence is all of that. And more. And more. I am more than I am. I am that I am. It's time to bring on Celeste. Celeste's nickname is the church lady. Yeah, I guess she's the church lady. She's the church lady. She does the announcements. I want to welcome you, those of you in the chat room. Thank you for being here. Those of you listening on the phone lines, we appreciate you. And, of course, can't forget our within radio listeners. Some of you are listening and walking around, and I want to listen to this and moving around. Just stay present, okay? Make sure you get what you need. If you're multitasking and you can't focus on anything that you're doing, it's just a waste of time. So take moments here to catch the truth. And another, I'm breathing in. Breathe out and express the truth. Catch the truth. No, breathe out. I'm about to choke on my own breath. Breathe in. Catch the truth. Express the truth. There you go. That's it. The number is 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. For your questions, your comments, your thoughts, your doubts, your worries, your fears, bring it all. This is the House of Love. We have set the intention to support you on your transformation journey. And we're bringing a church lady. You want to pay attention to the announcements because you just might receive a healing. Because the church lady, she is walking with the Holy Ghost fire.
Wow. Well, happy Monday to you guys, Coach, today, and our guests and listeners, family members, we call them. Hey, church, how y'all doing? Thanks, Life Coach, today.
It's funny, you know, when I say church, I guess because it's coming out of me, it's cool, but when I hear it, it's kind of like, oh, I get a resistance. You know, I just have this resistance to stuff like that. I just got to confess, you know. But anyway, it's all part of the growth. It is. Go ahead.
Let me reach in my purse, give you a little piece of candy so you can be quiet while I do the announcement.
Oh, it's going to fluff all over it. I don't want it. It smells like mothballs.
Oh, back down memory lane. All right, are you ready for this? I'm so excited. We got Lee McCormick joining us. Dreaming heaven. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to do
that. Ready to dream more heaven. Yes.
I know that's right. Okay, I'm going to get to it. I've got a special treat in the announcement, so stay tuned for it.
You got a special treat? Oh, I got to pay attention.
I do. No trick over here for Halloween, trick or treat. Okay, here we go. Hello, family. Welcome to the Ask Life Coach, the day radio show. My name is Celeste Morgan, and I'll be keeping you informed of all the happenings going on with the Ask Life Coach Today radio show and LifeConversationsRadio.com. You can find the Metaphysical Rebel, a.k.a. Life Coach Today, right here from Monday through Wednesday, 12 until 2 p.m. Eastern. If you happen to miss him live, all the shows are archived. You can even subscribe on iTunes by entering Life Conversations. You don't have to go a day without Life Coach Today. Call in with your questions, thoughts, and anything you're dealing with for Life Coach Today, and our wonderful guest, Lee McCormick, can support you. The call-in number is 347-426-3346, and make sure to press 1 on your keypad. Now, if you can't call in, you can post your questions on the Ask Life Coach Today fan like page. Please be sure to create a new posting. We want to make sure we get to you. Now, if you don't do or can't get on Facebook, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. Hover on the Life Conversations radio menu. Then you will see a drop-down menu. Click on the Ask Life Coach Today button and fill in the email. You can also join me around 1 for Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, where I offer the energy of the day. Did you know that you have access to Life Coach Today any time of the day? Sure you do. You can email him any questions you may have, and he'll answer them on the air. The email address is ask@lifecoachtoday.com. Is there a topic you would like Life Coach Today to explore on an upcoming show? You can email him that too. Let's get Life Coach Today's perspective on what you see moving and shaking in the world that is impacting you. The theme for the month of October is Say Yes to Love, and we have wonderful guests lined up who will help shift you one conversation at a time. Tomorrow, Life Coach Today is flying solo to help you make room for more love. Join him for a consciousness-expanding conversation. Make sure you're there. You don't want to miss it. We also have exciting shows on the Life Conversations Radio Network. Be sure to join Mbasa Safira for the play experience. Have you played with yourself today? Have you passionately loved and appreciated you? If not, take a trip on a playground every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. Also, tune in to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today on the last Wednesday of the month, which is coming up this Wednesday. Learn how the unacknowledged truths in your ancestral blueprints may still be influencing your life today. Be sure to join me as well for the Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern, where we connect with introspective tools like tarot to get you more clarity about your life's journey. For more info, go to LifeConversationsMedia.com. You'll find a calendar and a listing of all the shows. Did you know that the Ask Life Coach Today radio show is syndicated? It is on Within Radio every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. For more info, go to InspireBroadcasting.com. Saturday nights just got hotter with the Sounds of Soul with The Day and Mika O'Shea on 1-2 Radio. Life Coach Today is hosting a musical show dedicated to getting you in touch with all of your senses, reminding you of your quest to love, dream, and connect with the inner freedom within, reminding us of our oneness. Join him for this special soul train every Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern on 12radio.com. Finally, we have a special treat for you. Coming a little closer, for a donation of $5 or more to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show, we will send you a brand new, hot off the presses MP3 guided meditation done by Life Coach Today. Say yes to your good. I had the opportunity to take the journey this weekend, and I thoroughly enjoy getting in alignment with my good. Experience it for yourself. Go to LifeConversationsMedia.com, then hover don't click on the Life Conversations radio menu, then click the Ask Life Coach Today drop-down menu, and you will see a donate button on the right-hand side, or you can go to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show and or the Life Conversations radio fan like pages on Facebook and click the donate button. We thank you in advance for being such a blessing family, and we look forward to hearing your feedback about the Say Yes to Your Good guided meditation done by Life Coach Today. Now, that wraps up your announcements. Let's welcome back Life Coach Today.
Wow, you sound like you were listening to the meditation while you were doing the announcement.
I was rubbing Cleo to keep her quiet, the church cat.
See, I knew something was going on. I just didn't quite. You let Cleo be, we need a picture of Cleo. You know we need a picture of Cleo. I'm putting you on blast. I'm saying it on air. Cleo is the Ask Life Coach at a radio show cat. So we need to put,
yes.
People are saying, we want to see Cleo. You're trying to get Cleo to be quiet. But that's, you know what, even though we're joking, but that's the thing. I mean, I don't know if listeners caught it, but I noticed a difference in your tone. It was very gentle, even more gentle. And, you know, the power of love and pets that we have, and it's a way. Really, a dreaming in heaven. It's a way to take us out of all the distractions. And thank you for that gift. I noticed there was something different. I'm like, it's all just relaxed. You better just give Cleo a hug. No kiss. I don't kiss dogs or cats. None of that. I don't kiss dogs or cats.
She's purring very sweetly right now. So, yes, we are both in alignment. And, you know, we did get to say yes to our good. She was here with me while I was listening.
Ah, okay. So Cleo's like, are you on the radio? Can I say something, please?
Yeah.
Cleo said, I want to be part of this fun fest. Yes, yes, yes. It's time. Thank you. We'll see you around one.
Around one, indeed.
Yeah, because I want to know what the weather of the day, the spiritual weather of the day is. Because today feels sort of like something. But, you know, I'm better at dancing with the energy of the day. It's like, okay, it is what it is. Sometimes I'm like, wah! And then sometimes I'm kind of like, ah. And when I'm like, ah, people tell me all that fire. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm calm. But anyway, it's the A's in me. I can't. Be quiet. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Celeste.
My pleasure.
You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at Air Radio Show. We are dreaming heaven into being. We are dreaming heaven on earth. We are supporting you to let go and tune in and tap into the truth of who you are. Sometimes it's scary, but it's time to do it. It is time to do it. It's time to be more of who you are. It's time to say yes. Lee McCormick is in the house. He'll be joining us in a few minutes. We are taking your calls, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. And this is the perfect moment to go share the show and on the social media sites, and just especially people who get on your nerves, people you can't stand. You know those people you just don't like? Share the show with them, because this show is all about love. When you share the show with them, and, you know, people just click things, just say, click here, listen. When you share that show with them, guess what's really happening? You're not trying to do, I told you. You're sharing love with the part of you that sees the other as an enemy. So share the show. By sharing the show, you're giving love to yourself. You're embracing the love that you are. And, you know, some of us are quite enlightened. We don't have enemies. We don't upset anybody. Nobody upsets us. We are so grounded. We are so enlightened. Just share the enlightenment. Enlightenment with the people. So when you share the show, you're just sharing your light. That's all. But especially if you have family members who just have a way of taking you to that opposite direction. You fill in the blank, share the show. You really don't have any enemies. That's why you're sharing the show with them. Yes, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. a few minutes, I'm going to bring Lee on. And in the meantime, I want you to check out his website, but their website, because this work, Dreaming Heaven, is a movie, a journey book, a meditation. It's an experience. And their website address is dreamingheaven.net. Dreamingheaven.net. I'm feeling something, but let me just tell you that first. Dreamingheaven.net, find out some more information. And if you already know about it, just go there and catch something, because this is spiritual work. This is going beyond the intellect and getting lost into the heart, into the mysteries, the unknowns, and allow yourself to remember who you are. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Thank you. See, I knew it was going to come to me. I just have to be patient. So this is what we're going to do. We, all of us that are hosting the show, producing the show, listening to the show, we, all of us, we're one. We're going to return to ourselves, play a little bit of this, and then we'll bring on Lee McCormick. This is Agape Choir, Return to Me. That's what it's about. Dreaming Heaven is returning to the truth of who you are, knowing that you are enough. We'll be back.
Return to me with every breath.
Return to me. Return to the truth. Return to love. Return to God. Return to the God. Return to the all thing that is no thing. And there is no place where that something is not. You may be blinded by your own light, but you can surrender to it. Sometimes you need help. More than an intellectual thing. It's an experience. The Agape Choir, Return to Me, the soloist, Arne Baxter. To find out more about Agape, Agape Choir, Dr. Bernard Becker, Levi Becker, and all the good folks, Agape Live. AgapeLive.com. As we get ready to bring on Lee, I am standing for the transformation that you will find the courage to surrender to the greater you. You will find the courage to return to yourself and live from a place of authenticity, a place of vulnerability where your true power lies. That this goes beyond an intellectual conversation, becomes a heart conversation. Yes, thank you, Agape Choir. Let me read a little bit about Lee McCormick. He's so much more than what I'm about to read. He's so much more than whatever you can read about him. But we want to make sure the intellectual mind is at peace. Who is Lee McCormick? What does he know? You have to tune in to find out. That's a double meaning. I think I'm going to fade this down. I love this song. It takes me inside where all of life truly is. All right. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it go because I'm going to leave in the house. He said, don't turn it down yet. Did he say that? Maybe I'm making up stuff. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. This is where we share truth and we're not afraid to be silly about it, to embrace all of life and be flexible so we can go and grow with the flow. Truth doesn't need you to be serious. Get over yourself. Relax. It's not that deep. Yes, Lee McCormick founded the Ranch Recovery Center in Tennessee and later the Canyon Treatment Center in Malibu, California, and has been a creative force in the mental health and recovery scene for over 15 years. He has a leading role in the documentary Dreaming Heaven, the true story of the experiences of 18 people over 5 days at the pyramids in the... I can't believe this. You know how long I've been trying to pronounce this word and I've mastered it. Now I'm kind of like, what's the word again? In Teotihuacan. There you go. I think I did it. Mexico. My brain said, what's that word? Lee has led many journeys to the place of power and has developed a far-reaching relationship with the mystery of the shamanic world that is present there. The documentary chronicles one of these experiential journeys in a deeply moving way. And if you haven't seen the movie, get it. I mean, just watching it, for me, it's so powerful. And it's intense looking at it, but I'm sure there's so much that happened because you can't put everything in a movie. You can pick up the movie by picking up the book because the book has the movie at the back. And there's so much more. I'm going to talk to Lee about it, and he can give us more details. But to find out more about the movie Dreaming Heaven, the book, the meditations, go to dreamingheaven.net, dreamingheaven.net. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my friend, because we are one, our guest, our brother, Lee McCormick. Hello, Lee. How are you doing?
Hey, good morning.
What's the people with you?
Yeah. Well, you know, we always have our people with us, man.
And just because people don't see them doesn't mean they're not around, right?
I believe so.
Welcome. Thank you for being here. So I just read a little about you and talked about the Dreaming Heaven book and the movie. But I want to ask you from your perspective, from your point of view, who are you? Who is Lee McCormick?
No, who am I? You know, I'm a guy who's had the opportunity to live a great experience in life, and I found the way, or I found my way back to realizing that that's really why I'm here. You know, I'm here to live this experience as a human being, and to accept it and to learn with it and to grow with it and to let it go and to just keep creating. And, you know, it's I realized at a point after trying really hard to live up to what I was taught I needed to believe in order to be okay and be safe and be happy and be successful. You know, I realized after a point that that was just a point of view. It wasn't really the truth. Wasn't my truth. And I was here to be whoever it is I choose and decide to be in my life. And I wasn't here to live up to expectations. And so that was a big realization. So, you know, honestly, who am I really? I'm just a happy person at this point.
Yes, I hear you. You said something about finding your way back. And I just want to lay sort of foundation because this conversation we're having, it's really about us, the work that you've done with Jeannie Gentry, who we've interviewed as well before, Kelly Sullivan Walden, the Dream Oracle, and Francis. Is it Francis Hayhurst?
Yeah, Frank.
The work you've done, you're doing with them, it's about helping people to return, to go back to who we really are. But I want to ask you a more personal question for now before we go talk more about the dream in heaven. What was the catalyst for you to find your way back to who you really are?
The invitation... I call it an invitation now. I didn't always look at it as an invitation. But, you know, my opportunity really came about through me making a big mess out of my life and out of myself. And try as I did, I couldn't make my belief system, I couldn't make the world as I saw it. I couldn't make any of that work anymore. And so, you know, I hit a wall. And I checked myself into a treatment center. This was 16, 17 years ago. And the catalyst was, it was, you know, it's hard to look at it in hindsight because, honestly, I have no judgment of any of it anymore. And I'm grateful for it today, which changed everything. It just was what it was. You know, it took what it took to get me to pay attention to my life and to really realize the gift in taking responsibility for my life. And I mean that as the gift of waking up to the fact that it really is me creating my experience here. It really is me doing what I'm doing and choosing what I'm choosing and living what I'm living. It really is me. And it's not someone else doing it to me. And it's not that the world is unfair or that life is hard. It's not any of those beliefs that we project onto the world. It was literally me living the experience of how I had come to see things and what I'd come to believe about life. And that realization was a big one. And it took some time to, you know, it takes some time to for that to settle in, and that inspired me, honestly. Becoming the wreck that I was and the mess that I was, you know, it was heartbreaking on a lot of levels. But then life is pretty heartbreaking in this world until we really wake up, you know. And one of my teachers one time said, you know, the truth of the what a broken heart is when the truth shows up and the story you've been telling yourself and the truth don't match and your heart gets broken, you know. That always stuck with me. I think that's a pretty accurate interpretation.
Yes.
But, you know, life is amazing, and life is continuously offering us opportunities. And for whatever reason, we seem to have been born into a collective cultural consciousness that tends to put more value on expectations and projections and supposed to be's than we put value on in the moment, living alive, opportunities that come to us every day.
So true, so true. You know, I want to ask you something as well before, you know, it all ties into this process of dreaming heaven, because for me, and you may see it differently, the idea of dreaming heaven that we're going to talk about in a few minutes is really accepting what you said earlier, the idea of accepting it's me creating this, it's me creating my experiences. But that's kind of hard for us sometimes to receive. I've heard people say to me, but why would I create something like that if it's me? I just refuse. Why would I create this? Can you speak more about us having the power of being the one creating our experiences?
Well, yeah, I can. And so there's a difference between when I say creating our experiences, you could say, well, I'm not the one that created the abuse in my life, you know, when I was a child. I didn't create that. Well, no, we didn't create those actions. What we create is how we respond and react internally and what happens within us in response to our experiences in life. So we live these experiences in life. And, you know, we're born into a world that is completely already in motion. It literally is, as that saying goes, all the world's a stage. We literally are born into an existing reality that's operating based on scripts that have been passed on from generation to generation, and reality is as much a story as it is a fact. And we inherit, when we're born into this world, we inherit the neighborhood we're born into and what's happening there, the family that we're born into and the legacy of that family. We inherit, you know, the religious affiliations of our people or our family. We inherit the culture of the country that we're born into. So we're born into an existing, fully functional, operational reality. And as little children, we're downloaded with the belief systems of our people and of our families. And we are interacting with and running directly head first into the energetic realities of our families, and, you know, how well our family copes or doesn't cope, or whatever the story is. So we land in this world, and I don't believe that where we land is personal at all. I believe it just is what it is. And every human born into this world inherits a piece of the action. And you know, as well as I can tell, whether we do or not, I don't believe we necessarily, or I guess it doesn't matter. Does it really matter where you landed as a kid? You're there. That's it. You inherited it. The power that we hold is in waking up to the fact that, you know what, I can't change the legacy I was born into, but I can absolutely change the way that I respond to it, and I can change and impact that legacy in what will be passed on beyond me. Because if I heal those things that I may have inherited that may have happened to me in my lifetime as a result of the existing world that I was born into, just simply being here, if I inherit, you know, the neglect or the abuse or the fear or the anger or the whatever the story is, whatever the reality is, my power is in how I choose to embrace that and what I choose to do with that and how I choose to respond to that. Because I can heal those things and let it go, or I can take it on, make it personal, live in reaction to it, and continue to perpetuate that same way of being that, you know, the truth is we say, well, I hate this and I hate that. You know, I'd never do that to my children. I'll never be like my parents were. and in so many times, we end up exactly like they are. You know, if you have kids, you know that you hear your mom and dad talking out of your mouth all the time. You know, when you're a parent, you're like, oh, my God, I'm sounding just like my father, and I was never going to do that. Well, it's opportunities to realize that, you know, we've taken on the energy that we were born into and the belief system, and we're just acting out. We're acting out our inheritance, and it's not to be judged. It's the opportunity is to simply wake up to it. It's like, oh, my God, I am doing that. And you know what? I don't want to do that anymore. So how can I let that go? And yes. That's the invitation. Yes. That's the invitation from life.
Yes, indeed. You know, it's funny, I chuckled when you said, you know, sounded like our parents. A few days ago, about 3-4 days ago, I looked in the mirror, and in the mirror, I saw my dad looking back at me. I'm like, oh, my God, that's my dad. And it mean, I just saw my reflection looking just like my father. And I was stunned. I'm like, oh, my God. I told my father yesterday, and he found that quite amusing. It's a good thing I don't have a – well, there's some things I'm still working through with my father, but I don't have a judgment of him. I know there's different perspective, but he found it very humorous. And for me, the experience was recognizing that ultimately we are the life that lived in our parents, that lived in our parents, lives in us, and we are one. So making peace with our parents is making peace with ourselves. So I definitely get it, and life is truly an invitation. Now, let's talk about the invitation of dreaming heaven, because you talked about what we're born into. In a way, sometimes some people would say we've been dreaming hell, and you have created, it's not even a project, it's you've made space, room for an experience called dreaming heaven. It's an invitation for people to dream heaven. Can you tell us about this story, how it all started and what it's about?
Yeah, absolutely. When in my experience in early recovery as such, I was just basically not satisfied with what I was told recovery should look like. You know, that recovery should be you go to meetings and you get a sponsor and you find a therapist and you just keep working on your issues. And, you know, my name's Lee and I'm an addict. And that's kind of a sentence that, because I'm not normal, because addicts are not normal. And all of this stuff that came with this point of view of the role of being, you know, a recovering addict. And that never felt right to me. There were aspects of it that were true. Yes, I was addicted. Yes, I had issues. And did those issues define what I am? No. Not in any way, shape, or form. It may have been a good explanation or a good understanding of the energy I was dealing with, the patterns I was dealing with, the issues I was dealing with, the things that I faced, really. And I was much more than that. There was much more to me. There was much more to life. You know, and I didn't understand all of what I just said, but I knew it to be true. On a gut level, I knew it to be true. And so I started looking and reading and going to different kinds of meetings and anything that presented itself as something that could hold a thread to reconnecting with what it was that I knew was missing in my life. I knew something was missing. I did not know what it was. You know, I had tried all of the cultural things, which, you know, in our culture, if something's missing in your life, then you need a new car, or you need another relationship, or you need more of something, because more is the answer to everything in our culture. Mm-hmm. Well, I knew that none of those things were what was missing. I knew on a deep level that what was missing was of the soul or of the spirit, that it was more profound than this surface-level existence that we're all taught to live for. So in that seeking, I read the book, The Four Agreements, and I was so moved by the point of view in that book and literally the energy that I found in reading that book that I started investigating Miguel Ruiz. I went back and reread all of Carlos Castaneda's books, because something in that what we call shamanic, I don't really care for any of these categories anymore, but something in that presentation of information was compelling to me. I found that there were teachers leading journeys to Teotihuacan, Mexico, people who were associates of Miguel Ruiz's. And so I just signed up for a journey and went for it. I didn't know anything about it. All I'd done is read the book. and I was fortunate enough, you know, to be able to buy a plane ticket and pay the fee for the journey, and I got on a plane and met this group of people I've never seen before in the Mexico City airport. And when we arrived in Teotihuacan, I got out of the van and turned around and looked down this long ancient avenue with these temples and pyramids, and the whole thing just cracked my reality wide open. It was I literally had a flash of what Teotihuacan had looked like 2,000 years before, and my heart just blew open. It was a reconnection that was completely a place out of time, and that was my welcome home experience as such. And so I lived with that process, and I kept going back a couple times a year. I've never stopped going back. I have a home there now. And, you know, it was the opening that I was personally looking for. And I don't say or claim that, you know, we're all unique. And so we're all going to have our own connections to those threads through time that can help us find our way back to the truth of who we really are. Dreaming Heaven literally came about after about 10 years of those journeys, and I'd worked myself through to a point to where I was co-leading journeys myself, and I met Dana Walden, who's a principal in the film. Dana's married to Kelly Sullivan Walden, who's been on your show. And Dana and I met through Jenny Gentry, a mutual friend who's also in the film, and thought, you know what, it would be really interesting to film one of these journeys and to film a group of people living this level of experience for themselves and to see what we could capture on film. It was more like we set out to make a really elaborate home movie than it was we ever had the intention of this becoming a commercial documentary. And that's literally what happened. It was, you know how ideas are. We get them all the time, and sometimes we say yes, and sometimes we don't. And then it took on a life of its own, literally. The project took on a life of its own.
You mentioned, you know, the people that went with you, and I read somewhere that really the journey to Teotihuacan was, it's like the plan was to have no plan. Is that correct?
No, we have a structure that has been more or less a traditional format. Like if you have a treasure map, and the treasure map says, you know, go to this place first and you'll find a clue, and then you'll go to this place and you'll look for another clue. That's kind of what it is. It's a loose structure. And the truth is, what literally happens in the moment as we move into each experience is up to that living experience in that living moment. We don't have, we're going to go here and we're going to go sit down and look in each other's eyes and journal on our childhood. And, you know, it's not predetermined in that way. We literally, because we're working with a living place. Teotihuacan is a conscious being. It's alive. And it has a lot to say about what happens next there. Because, you know, again, culturally, we hold these ideas of normal and not normal, and we have all these notions of what success is supposed to look like and what happy is going to look like when we get there. And the truth is, none of that's true. Happy's a state of being, you know. Contentment's a state of being. Inspiration is inspiration in the moment as it moves through us and it excites us and it brings with it creativity and vision and action and all that. Well, that's the way healing journeys are, in my experience, true healing journeys. There's a big difference in a healing experience and a psycho-educational rearranging the furniture of your life type experience. You know, one is leading us into an expansive state and is allowing us to let go of our baggage and be done with it, and the other is literally just helping us rearrange the furniture so it's more comfortable to continue to exist in a reality that may or may not really be serving us.
I'm curious, after watching the movie, when you got the invitation on the soul level to take people with you and just kind of create a somewhat, if you will, a home movie, and then other people decide to go with you, what was the reason? What was the catalyst for them? What was going on? Were they just going along to see what would happen, or did they really have a deep call to say yes to the invitation to dream heaven?
Well, it was a mix of all of the above. There are maybe, I have to think now, maybe half the people on the journey had actually been to Teotihuacan before, and Teotihuacan and that experience is their check-in place. You know, it's the place they come back to get clarity on their life, to bring where they are at this point in their life, to bring it home and to bring themselves back to centeredness again, or back to clarity again. So half the people were returning as who they were at that point in their life, because we're never the same person, you know, 2 days in a row. And half the people were literally on their first journey there, and a lot of them were similar to the space I was in the first time I went. Something had called them. Something had hooked their attention. You know, there was some form of connection that happened that led them to make the choice to go for it. And that's very typical. You know, our journeys, we were just there 2 weeks ago, and we had 25 people on a journey. And again, you know, two-thirds of that group actually were returning. You know, if you could go sit in God's lap and have a conversation with God about your life and your experience in this world and where you're at and where you may want to go from here, you know, my inclination is that if I could find my way there, I wouldn't want it to just be a one-time visit. I'd want to be able to go back home again, you know.
I know, that's right. Yes, indeed. I so understand. If you're just joining us, my guest is Lee McCormick. He's one of their lead facilitators, the Nagual. Is it Nagual? Am I pronouncing it right?
The word is Nawal.
Nawal, okay, it's like a W, okay. On the journey, the experience of dreaming heaven. To find out more about dreaming heaven, you can go to his website. It's dreamingheaven.net, dreamingheaven.net. We're going to talk about the book and the meditation and on the other side. But before we take a break, for me, my personal belief is Teotihuacan, it's like an energy center. What do you think about that?
Oh, it absolutely is. There's a profound, powerful, unique, energetic and consciousness to Teotihuacan. You know, people ask me a lot. They say, well, is it really necessary to go to Mexico? And I say, well, no. I mean, people, you can wake up anywhere at any given point in time. That's certainly not limited. And if you want to have the experience if you want to snow ski, you got to go to a mountain that's tall enough to have snow on it.
Right.
If you want to swim in warm water, well, you probably want to go to the Caribbean, not Northern California, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the reality is there is an energetic presence in that particular location and a consciousness in that particular location, and it is unique. I've been to quite a few places, power places in the world. Teotihuacan has a very unique presence to it, and it is a very readily available multidimensional reality. There are layers of consciousness, and there are doorways literally to the multidimensional nature of what we really are and to this creation, this world we live in. The world we live in is very multidimensional. There are multiple frequency levels that make up this reality.
Yes. You know, from watching the movie, I can see some of the people who went through change. There was a part where a sister was asking, a gentleman has gone through an experience. And she said, but I wanted to know what happened to him. I really want to know what happened. And I love how you guided her back. You guided everybody back. It's like, go back to that space and remember what happened to you then. And you move for me, Dreaming Heaven is moving us beyond the mind and back to the heart, making choices from the heart. Why is it important for us to make choices from the heart and live our life from the heart?
You know, there is such depth and peace and clarity and an understanding that comes through the wisdom of the heart as opposed to the reasoning mind. The mind is amazing. The way our mind can process information and hold information, the way it can create stories, you know, the way the mind is just an amazing tool as such. And the mind has a very real, very significant role in our experience as human beings. And what's happened to us is we have been acculturated to use our mind in all aspects of our life, and the heart and the wisdom of the heart and the ability to process, the ability to gain clarity, the ability to connect to the consciousness of creation comes through the heart. And that ability has really been put in a second-class position for the sake of reasoning everything out. You know, I know I grew up, I was being told, well, you better figure out what you're going to do. You better figure out who you're going to be. You better figure out where you're going to go in your life. You better figure out how to get that done. And it's all on a cognitive level. It's all on a mind reasoning level. No one in my life growing up ever said to me, what's in the deepest, most... you know, most sacred aspect of your heart and your being, what's really in your soul? What do you really feel about life? What would you like to express through this time in this world? How would you like to create, and what would you like to live as a life? You know, that kind of introspective connection was not part of the way I grew up, and it's not part of the culture of the United States. You know, it's not part of modern man's way of living in the world. And so we have cut ourselves off largely from the deepest source of inspiration and what I feel to be the most accessible connection to spirit is through the heart. It's through, and I'm not talking about the sentimental heart, the, you know, oh, I love you baby heart. I'm talking about the heart that when you're looking out at the ocean and the wind blowing and the clouds and the colors of the flowers, you know, when you're just completely engulfed in beauty and grace and the presence of life itself, that connection of the heart's what I'm talking about, and having that be and serve as our guide in life every bit as much, if not more, than our ability to reason things out.
Yes. I feel it. I'm feeling it as you talk. I'm just like my heart expanding as you describing that. And you know, it's living from a heart-centered place makes a difference. And even though the society we've created doesn't support that, more and more people are waking up and choosing to live from the heart and let the heart be the guide. I want to take a break. When we come back, and I want us to talk about how listeners can start that journey or continue the journey. Some of them are already on the journey. Some are thinking, well, I want to dream heaven. But it's about receiving the invitation of the angel of death. And we have all this fear around death. So I want us to talk more about that, the change. In the movie, Jeannie Gentry talked about, she gave a wonderful definition of change that I've never heard before. When she talked about change, it's not becoming something more, I'm paraphrasing here, but it's becoming who you really are. I mean, when I heard that, I was like, that is true. When we change, we're not trying to be something we're not. We're just returning back to who we really are, which is, you know, there's got to be some kind of death that happens before that. So when we come back, we're going to do Celestial Moment, and then we want to talk about the gift of the invitation of the angel of death.
Cool.
You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. The number is 347-426 347-426-3346. If you're dreaming hell and need some help in dreaming heaven into being dreaming heaven on earth, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. We are going to take a quick break, come back with Celestial Moment, and continue the conversation with Lee McCormick. He's one of the leaders of the – it's not a project. It's not a book. It's so much more. He's one of the guys that will return you back to – support you in returning back to yourself. Yeah, I like that better. That feels good. So you can get in touch with the sacred aspects of your heart. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Mark Hussin, founder of 12radio.com, and I'm here to support Life Coach Ade. I like what Life Coach Ade does. I like the Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, and I like the message that's given out. If you like the message and you have a product that you'd like to also announce that would reach like-minded people, consider sponsoring the show. The pricing is great, and details will be given after this message. Keep spreading the love, guys. Thank you so much.
Yes, indeed. For more information about sponsorship, send an email to radio@lifeconversationsradio.com. radio@lifeconversationsradio.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Hussin. When I created 12listen.com, I envisioned a service that could offer immediate relief from the dilemmas of daily life on demand. I knew that many of you have been hurt by similar services on the internet because I've been in this industry for over 25 years, and I know that when you're hurt, the promise of a fix sounds irresistible, regardless of who's offering. The advisors at 12listen.com are extraordinary, not because they've endured weeks of observation and testing, but because they promise to make their work here their number one priority. That means you will be speaking to someone who's here for you. We're not a perfect service, but we believe becoming a perfect service starts with having the courage to strive for perfection. I am Mark Hussin, and 12listen.com and the 12 family are my purpose. Give us a try. And if you've tried us before, try again, because I'm convinced that life is better when you don't feel alone. Thank you.
Hey folks, it's Jenny Cressman. I've worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years now, and I have a challenge for you. I want to challenge you to help end violence against women. Now, that may seem like a big, hairy, scary project, but if we all work together, anything's possible. All I want you to do is talk about it. That's my challenge. Whenever appropriate and safe, tell people that abuse of any kind is absolutely unacceptable. If someone says it's a woman's fault she was abused, or tells a joke that puts women down, call them on it. Stand up, speak out, and stop abuse and violence against women. Just saying that's not right is a big step towards greater equality. You can make a difference. You can help make the world a better place. Just talk about it.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Many blessings to you.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
We dare you to live your best life, and we're supporting you to find your way back home. Joining us today is Lee McCormick. His website address is dreamingheaven.net. The book, Dreaming Heaven, The Beginning is Near. There's a book, there's a journey, well, a movie, a book, and meditations to support you in returning to your center, to that place where all answers, all the wisdom to what you can ever ask resides. And we are truly the answer. And we're going to do Celestial Moment. And we've got two questions that were emailed in. Yeah, I think after Celestial Moment, we'll do the questions, and then we talk about the gift that the Angel of Death has for us. Ooh, Halloween is round the corner. Celeste, how are you doing? Where are you? There you are. Hey, Celeste.
I'm right here in heaven. Thank you so much.
I'm enjoying the conversation. And if you would like to continue your heaven trip, if you missed it, wow. Hi, Cleo. If you missed at the top of the hour, we did a special announcement about a guided meditation that Life Coach Today has created. It was such a beautiful journey today, really, because you know I don't meditate as much as I should. But it really, it was such a beautiful journey. And for a donation of $5 or more to the Ask Life Coach Today radio show, you can get an MP3 file and take the journey for yourself. So excited about it.
Yep, say yes to your good.
Say yes
to your
good.
We have all that we need. All
we
got to do is push the apply button. So let's push the apply button for Celestial Moment.
We're going to do it right now. Good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moment. I come bearing a number gift, and trust you will be able to use these tools to embrace whatever is showing up in your life right now. The energy of the day is 8. And 8 is the number of infinity. 8 also represents balance. The 8th letter of the alphabet is H, and we have learned that H is a holy letter. So words like healer, heaven, and home connect us to the magical power found in the number 8. 8 also shows up as the loving otter in the medicine cards, which reminds us of the beauty and power of balanced femininity when we tap into woman medicine. Now today we're going to put the spotlight on the star card in tarot. Its number is not 8, it's actually 17. So when you add 1 plus 7, you get 8. So here we go. The star card is astrologically associated to the sign of Aquarius, the water bearer. My favorite star card is in the Mother Peace Tarot deck. It features the Navajo changing woman, fully submerged in a pool of water as a hawk flies over her head with a sacred message. There's a soft rain that gently washes away the pain of the lightning strike of the tower. This represents self-nurturing. Her chant is as follows. The world before me is restored in beauty. The world behind me is restored in beauty. The world below me is restored in beauty. The world above me is restored in beauty. All things around me are restored in beauty. My voice is restored in beauty. It is finished in beauty. It is finished in beauty. Now, in the Rider-Waite tarot deck, you will find a blonde woman representing innocence and virginity with exactly 8 stars over her head. Nudity in tarot means unconditional love and acceptance for yourself. We find our heroine with 2 pictures. She places her foot into a pool and pours to refill it. She also has another foot on the earth as she pours water to feed the land. It's a dual approach of tending to material and spiritual needs at the same time. She is bending, and this physical position speaks of submission, not of one where she is being conquered. She submits to her role as a loving healer as she tends to both realms of earthly pursuits and the divine. The star card represents optimism, hope for the future, and unconditional love, while one figure reminds to restore yourself in the Mother Peace tarot cards. The Rider-Waite asks us to restore the pool and the land. I recommend that we do both so that we may give from the overflow as we restore each other, mind, heart, body, and soul. All is well. And that's the story of 8 told through the star card of tarot. I'll see you on Tuesday around 1 for another Celestial Moment. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Celeste. I just love how life works out, how life just pulls things together to be talking about number 8 today when we're talking about dreaming heaven and 8 being, I mean, life is good. Thank you for what you do, Spider-Woman. I appreciate you.
My pleasure.
And we'll bring you back later for questions. All right. Thanks, Celeste.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yes, indeed. Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan.
Monday to Wednesday, around 1, on the Ask Life Coach at A radio show.
Yes, we are talking to Lee McCormick, and his website address is dreaminheaven.net. The beginning is near. We are getting ready to talk about the gifts of the angel of death. Are you ready? You must die to this self, this conditioned self, in order to know yourself, to live from a place of sacred, heart-centered sacredness. Oh, that's something I'm making up. It sounds good, so we'll go with it. Welcome back, Lee. How are you?
I'm great.
Okay. Now, actually, before we talk about the angel of death, they've got some questions here, and you've actually answered one of the questions. But you may want to add to it. The email question said, "Would Lee be willing to share his darkest moment that led him on his spiritual journey? Does he have any regrets?" And I think you spoke to that, but if there's anything else you want to add, feel free.
Well, you know, I think I revisited my darkest moment many times, actually. You know, I mean, living life with an addiction and that, it's living in that space of, it's like the ultimate duality almost, that, you know, we're doing what we're doing when we're addicted. And I know for myself, I hated it for a number of years before I ever did anything about it. I hated what I was doing to myself. I hated what I did to my family, to my daughters and my wife at the time. You know, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't have the perspective. I did not know how to stop. So, you know, I mean, that was a reoccurring darkest moment that went on for a couple years before, you know, before I woke up to the fact that there actually was a choice. So, you know, that's that. Do I regret it? You know, I mean, yeah, the fact that you know, I broke my daughter's hearts when they were little girls, you know, yeah, I regret that. You know, and I can't change it. And, you know, and we have relationships with each other today because they're adults today. You know, and life moves on, life goes on. And you can't change the past. And I never attached myself to the identity of my name's Lee and I'm an addict. I never took that on. I just kept on moving. And I woke up to the fact that my name is Lee, and you know what? Honestly, I can't even really define myself for you. I just do what I do, and I live what I live, and I'm grateful for it. And the way life rolls, you know, out of my darkest moments, I was inspired to create programs that could help other people reconnect with their authenticity and their truth as a choice in the realm of recovery work. Because the programs that I've created were not disease-oriented programs that said you have to identify yourself as a this or a that in order to be compliant with our version of recovery. The programs I created were about, let's just unravel who you think you are. Let's unravel your experiences, your story, your woundedness, your fears. Let's unravel all that stuff, and let's leave some space for you to experience life a little freer, for you to experience life without immediately reacting to that open space by needing to cling to a new story and a new identity right off the bat.
Yes.
Let's just let some light and some air and some life move through us, and then make conscious choices about what we choose to identify ourselves by, rather than, you know, moving from one role and identity to another in the same breath.
Yes. Yes, time, space, and then making conscious choice, because rather than just saying, well, that looks better, let me just grab on that, and that becomes another thing we're addicted to. I think even spiritual growth can be an addiction, especially for people who are running from their past or things that they're ashamed about or feel regret about, but allowing, you know, that space to inform the next choice. It's so needed. It is so needed. We've got another question here. The question is, I want to dream heaven, but all I see on the news is hell. How do I maintain the heaven consciousness when I feel bombarded by the images I see?
Okay. That's a challenging one, and it's also somewhat of a simple answer.
Yes.
We literally, humans, we feed on the objects of our attention. And what I mean by that is we literally energetically feed on what we give our attention to. So if we're watching the news and we continue to give our focus and attention to that frequency and that information, we're ingesting it in a form and fashion. We're taking it in. We're taking it on, that heavy energy, that chaos, that fear, that drama. You know, what's going on in the world is what's going on in the world. It is what it is. And to shift our attention to other aspects of life and creation, to shift our attention into the moment and the reality of, for instance, my life, where I sit today literally, the things that I'm choosing to do with my time and my attention today literally in the moment from day in and day out, is my responsibility, and I'm not responsible for what's being projected on the screen in the news world and in the greater scope of the story we're getting about the world. Because I have a strong suspicion that what we're being fed through news and media is not necessarily the whole picture. It's a very selective cross-section of information being fed to us for whatever reason, by whatever choices are being made, and how that comes about. And you know what? Okay, so what? Big deal. My responsibility is my reality. It's my life. It's the quality and integrity of the choices that I make and what I'm giving my time and attention to, and how I'm holding the integrity and the respect and the gratitude for my life and the actions that I'm taking from that place. So it's about shifting our attention. And it's easy to get hooked by the world. The world, the culture we live in, the world we live in is masterful at hooking our attention. It's masterful. You know, we have to literally take our power back and realize, you know, there's really nothing to be gained by going there. Not really. And there's plenty to do right here in our own hometown, in our own family, you know, in our own neighborhood, with our own people. And, you know, for me, a lot of this comes back to our loss of community in our culture of this country.
Yes.
You know, I love New York City because there's still community in a lot of those neighborhoods. And, you know, the truth is, you go into a lot of the you know, you go into the Latino communities, you go into Harlem, you go into different communities where, you know what, people didn't have a lot of stuff, but they still have each other. They still got a community.
Yes.
You know, I've lived in Mexico, and the Mexican people are so much happier than Americans generally. And you know, our house is in a little village. We're the only Americans with a home in this little village. And the deal is there's community and there's heart connected there. And, yeah, there's drama and there's gossip and there's all that stuff. Okay, big deal. What there is a sense of belonging and connection. And if somebody gets – when you have real community, which we've lost, and you bring – people get together and they cook and they eat, you know, and they play some music out in the street or they shoot some hoops. But it's a community. And that feeds our soul, in my opinion. It's that simple. You know, and we can all recreate that. We just have to do it.
Yes. Oh, my God. We're going to have to bring you back. I know we've got a few minutes to go, but, it, you know, that's one thing I got from this work
is when I look at you, Jeannie, Kelly and Frank and Dana and all the other people who have put all of this together, one of the things that came up for me was they created a community, and it's missing now. Sometimes we find our community on television or the reality TV shows, and we define ourselves by that, but it leaves us disconnected from ourselves. And but before you go, I really want to talk about having teasing people with this angel of death, because I believe that, you know, for the question, the person said, how do I maintain the heaven consciousness when I feel bombarded by the images? Well, claim, stop being a victim and pick up a copy of Dreaming Heaven, The Beginning is Near. That would help you.
It's real simple. Stop giving your attention to that which is causing you anxiety.
That's right.
You know, stop going there.
That's right. That's right. So now, and let's talk about the angel of death in the short amount of time that we have. And if you can tie that in with how the book and the movie and the meditations can help people in actually dreaming heaven, even if they can't make it to Teotihuacan.
Yeah, absolutely. The angel of death is a mythology slash reality that existed in the ancient Toltec mystery school for thousands of years. And the awareness is this, that we don't own, humanity, we do not own any aspect of our of the physical world that we live in. We don't really own our homes. We don't really own our clothes or our cars. We don't own our stuff. It's ours for the very short period of time that we happen to be in our physical body. Because we're not our body. We're the consciousness that inhabits and brings life into the form of the body. And when the spirit leaves the body becomes an inanimate object. You know, it disintegrates and returns back to the body of the earth again, back to the body of the mother.
Okay.
So the angel of death, as the one who presides over the physical world, is literally the owner of this physical realm. The energy that we put into creating our identity, the identity that I had as my name is Lee McCormick when I checked into the treatment center 16 years ago, that was an identity and a role, and I had stories upon stories about who I was. I had a personal history that ran all the way back through my life. I had judgments and opinions and attachments and wounds and glory and greatness and sadness all attached to the identity that I carried around that I basically suited up in and suited up as every day when I woke up. Mm-hmm. I woke up to this reality waiting for me when my feet hit the floor. And I was Lee McCormick. Mm-hmm. Okay, when I entered into the process of unraveling my reality, of really questioning every aspect of myself and my life, which is the Dreaming Heaven process, it's about sincerely and ruthlessly moving into a space of questioning everything. Nothing is sacred. Everything is to be questioned and taken apart and looked at for the sake of finding what is the truth, because the truth will be with us no matter what. You can't get away from the truth. If something that you hold on to dear as a belief and as the truth for you, if it can't stand being questioned, it's not the truth. It may be what you've chosen to believe regardless, but it is not the truth. The truth is with us always, no matter what. So the angel of death offers us the service of literally taking the energy of all of our story, all of our woundedness, all of our glory, all of our identity. The angel of death will take all of that stuff, that energetic, and she will literally put it back into the recycling bin of creation so that that energy is then freed up. And as we release our attachments to stories and identities, and I'm from this hood, and this is my family, and this and this and this has happened to me, and I've accomplished this and this and this, and all that stuff that we cling to, trying to be good enough and trying to hold on to a space in the world, as we release that stuff, we're freeing ourselves to be present in this moment, and we're also freeing all of those people and all of those situations through life that we stay attached to through our judgments, through our fear, through our projection of blame. We're setting ourselves free, and we're freeing everyone and everything else that we are still holding an attachment to. And the angel of death takes all that stuff. So she's really in great service to us. It's the same if you're familiar with the concepts of reincarnation. Literally, the angel of death allows us to reincarnate our presence and our being in this world without having to literally leave our physical body, so that we can be reborn as the consciousness and the truth of who we have always been in the same body. We'll still have the memories. We'll still have the wisdom and all that we've gained by our life experience. We will just no longer live with any attachment to it. We're free from it.
Yes. And that is dreaming heaven. That is dreaming heaven. Real quick, the book, it's I guess you can call it a workbook. Can you talk real quick about how that can help listeners?
Sure. The book is a mirror of, if I want to look at my life from a different perspective, if I would like to engage in what I've seen in the film, how do I go about doing that? Well, the book is literally that opportunity. Each chapter in the book is focused on a different aspect of our awareness, of our beliefs, of our life, of our reality. And there's activations, there's practices and processes in the book that allow the reader, and this gift here again, because this calling back into community is real for me. It's really important to me. And so the book is an opportunity to bring together a group of people. I didn't even say friends. I don't care if you know them or not. But to get a group of people together and do this, go through this process with the book, with the movie, with the meditations, and a group of 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 people, and share it and see what comes out of it. Because there's not a right and wrong way to do this. It's literally about the sincere willingness to come back into a focus on ourself and our life and our reality. And the Dreaming Heaven, the book, supports that focus and that questioning from a non-judgmental place, from simply what's really true, and let's sit with this and work with this and give it a chance without the need to immediately say, oh, well, that was wrong, this is right now. Oh, that was right, this is wrong now. You know, without the need for an immediate reaction, let's just start dismantling ourselves for the sake of what we might discover. And that's what Dreaming Heaven, the beginning is near. That's what the book, that's why we created the book, to be a companion to the film, because the film inspires people. And then they say, well, what do I do now? Well, now you have the book, and you have the meditation.
That's right. And it's all in one. You don't have to buy the meditation. Well, actually, the meditation comes with everything. It's all in one. And that's one of the things I love about what you have here. So, yes, what do you do now? Pick up the book and push the apply button. Lee, thank you. Thank you so much. And is your assistant, is it Dee or Dia? What's her name?
Dia.
How do you pronounce her name?
Dia.
Well, I want you to give her a big hug for us and thank her for all that she did behind the scenes to make this moment available. But I also want to ask you before you go, is there anything you want to share with our listeners that maybe, you know, you haven't talked about, you're hoping I'll ask you, but here's your moment before we release you.
Well, you know, we live in a time where all of our systems, the government, the economy, the world, everything is clearly in a state of flux, you know, at best. And as our world and our reality gets rattled, as your personal life is challenged and gets rattled, you know, the opportunity is to look at what are we really doing here. And if we want to change the quality and the integrity of our life, the opportunity is to come back face-to-face in the mirror with ourselves and take a good long look at what do we value, really? What matters to us, really? You know, what are you believing about yourself and about life that's in the way of you realizing that, you know what, you can be and do what you choose to do in relation to being a whole, authentic, honest person. That doesn't require, it doesn't require money. It doesn't require a big house. It doesn't require a fat job. It's literally a level of honesty and connection to the truth of who we are, and the willingness to look for what you can find in your life that you truly have gratitude for, and to practice living with that gratitude as your calling card to the next day and the next moment and the next relationship.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate you. I honor you for the work you're doing with the rest of the guides. Nagual, I'm going to say it. Nagual, right? Nagual.
Nawal.
It's supposed to,
yeah, there you go.
Nawal. Okay, good. Okay, got it. And Jeannie, Kelly, and Frank, thank you for creating, bringing community back, because I really believe that's where true healing happens. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, bro, and have a great day, man.
Yes, indeed. Lee McCormick, his website address, their website address is dreamingheaven.net. I just love the fact that he kept bringing back community, because I really believe in that. We need each other. We need each other. And, you know, as he said, the whole thing about gossip, it's all part of, it's just, you know, if you're experiencing it, it lives in the community. How do we heal it? Not by running from it, but by being with it. So you get to hear what you don't like by being with it, by dealing with it, by feeling what it feels like rather than running from it. That goes for everything. So true spiritual walk, healing is about dealing. And you can't deal with it if you don't want to feel it. And that's Dreaming Heaven. You are listening to the Ask Life Coach Ade Radio Show. We are here Monday to Wednesday, 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern. All the shows are archived. You can subscribe on iTunes. Simply go to iTunes.com, I think. Yes, it is iTunes.com. Well, find your way around it. And subscribe to the podcast. Yeah, I think it's a podcast. And just enter Life Conversations. We've got some questions for Life Coach Ade. Let me see if he's available to answer questions. Hey, Celeste. Do you think Life Coach Ade is available for some questions? I don't know where he is. Oh, there he is.
He's right there. Hey, I want to share a comment from the chat room from our dear beloved Tamara Joy. She said that Lee's talking about issues that almost don't have words to describe experiencing who we truly are, wordless! Exclamation point. So
like
we definitely enjoyed that conversation. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just really clear. It, you know, life is exciting. It's an adventure. It's a journey. And sometimes it's challenging. Sometimes it's messy. Sometimes it's painful. But we've got to move through it. That's why we're here. We came here to be the first responder to the challenges of life. That's what we're here. That's why we're here. We're here to be the first responder. Say, okay, what needs to be done? And sometimes it gets very hot. Sometimes it's messy. Sometimes there are dead bodies around. But you still got to do the work. Sometimes there's blood around. You still got to do the work. So, you know, if you're not ready to be, do, or just do what you're here to do, then move out of the way. Whatever that looks like for you. Spirituality is for gladiators. And life is not for wimps. Life is not for wimps. Spirituality is for gladiators. You can't come here. You can't talk about being on a spiritual journey and hiding. Spiritual journey opens you up. If you're applying it, it opens you up to the truth. And it's not always easy. Let's open some people up to more truth. We got some, was it several? I don't know. How many questions do we have?
I believe
one
we
two,
have.
I don't know. Okay. So what's the first question? Yes.
Okay. Dear Life Coach Ade, when I get into conflict with my girlfriend, she has a tendency to bring up mistakes I've made in the past. Now, I'm not comfortable bringing up anything that concerns me out of fear that I will be attacked again. I have owned it, apologized for it, and have not done it again, but she can't seem to let it go. What can I do to bring us into the present? Alan.
Oh, that's pretty loaded. Well, it's loaded, but it's not. You know, talk about bringing up mistakes of the past. You said you've owned it, apologized for it, and have not done it again. Well, you're not comfortable her bringing, you know, I'm kind of dissecting the question, Alan. Well, clearly, okay, let's keep it simple. Let's not even go deep yet. Let's just really, 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 Johnny, that really, really hurt. If you've seen the YouTube clip, you know what I mean. But anyway, I just heard that in my head. But so here's the thing. In a relationship, period, if there's something that you have done, and you're in a relationship with somebody, be it romantic or not, but they keep bringing something up in the past, if you have forgiven yourself, Alan, if you've forgiven yourself and accepted your responsibility, that you've messed up or whatever the case may be, and you've healed it within yourself, but your partner, the person you're in relationship with, still keeps bringing it up. Two things. One, they haven't healed it, and there's something about it that they still want to talk about. Now, it's not always easy. But it's all about consciousness. It's about the awareness. So in this case, girlfriend, I assume is your, you know, because nowadays people use words. So I'm just going to assume your girlfriend is someone you're in a romantic relationship with. Well, it's time to create a space for her to really talk about what is really going on. Because if she keeps bringing it up and she can't seem to let it go, she's feeling not heard. Now, you're not necessarily responsible for her not letting it go, but you do play a role in supporting her on the journey if she chooses to. If you're true with yourself, if you've really forgiven yourself, then face to hear what she has to say. Maybe there's something, maybe you just said, well, I forgive myself or whatever, but she doesn't feel heard. Now, you may want to look at that. If she doesn't feel heard, create a space to really hear her. Now, if her bringing up the past makes you feel uncomfortable, then that lets you know there's more work that needs to be done. If you heard what Lee said about regrets of the past, there's a difference. You can hear the difference in somebody who still feels the regret and feeling they're a horrible person, and the difference between somebody who's actually healed it. For me, when I listened to Lee, he had looked at what he did in the past, what happened in the past. Yes, there's regret, but he has healed it, and he's not playing a victim anymore. So by creating a space for your girlfriend to be heard, if you're triggered, there's more work to be done. And if you're not triggered, if you could just hear her, maybe that's all she needs. But, you know, from there you get to decide. So when you say, what can I do to bring us into the present? I like that question. Because the truth is, bringing ourselves back to the present, it's not something we have to do. We don't have to bring the present moment is already here. So the present moment, when you talk about bringing some people, bringing yourself back to the moment, to the present moment, is listen to her. Listen to you. Because the present moment is not avoiding. Let's not talk about that. It is about willing to look at what's showing up. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it's joyful. Sometimes it's exciting. It's all of life. So all you got to do is make room for it. Make room for it in your heart. Make room for it in your consciousness. And you will find that you're already in the present. You don't have to bring, there's nothing that needs to happen. You just have to show up fully, authentically. And in showing up authentically, you can support your girlfriend, you can support others, you can support yourself. Now, after that doesn't happen, then maybe she needs help with some things. sometimes people want to bring out the things you did because they're uncomfortable with what they did. But that, you didn't ask me about that, so I'm not even going to go there. So I'll stay out. I'm just going to address the question, but I'm not going to read more into it. Anyway, do we have any more questions, Celeste?
Yeah, you got a quick one. I want to welcome Love and Happiness just joined us. Check it out in the archive. Love and Happiness.
Yes.
Okay, this is we always sing it. We can't help it. You have a question from last week that you didn't get to really put your teeth into. So let me bring that back to you from Samantha. Yeah, yeah. Can you tell us about a time when you weren't in truth with the truth of who you are and what you did to find your place? Samantha,
right.
The first part was, how do you define authenticity? Do you feel like you answered that one?
I put my teeth into that. I sucked the meat off the bone. I even sucked the juice out of the bone. I just went out. I mean, I took that. I mean, by the time I finished. But anyway, you know, authenticity, I used the definition from the Sacred Yes, is the place where your spirituality meets your humanity. You know, that's how I define it now. It's that place where you honor, you recognize who you are, that you are bound. You're expansive. You are one with God. We know that. You are love. You are loving action. You are compassion. You are understanding. But in your humanity, as Lee was sharing with us earlier, there's some things we inherit. There's some things we're born into, the culture, the limitations, and all the other blah, blah, blah stuff. And at the same time, recognizing your journey. So it's bringing those two together. When you can honor yourself, your journey, the truth of who you are, and your experiences, that's being authentic. It's like, yeah, this is it. Now, I've had the conversation about, I think this was from the show, your securities and your authenticity. And I've had several conversations with people about, you know, being authentic. And I'm going to use an example of a friend. I'm not going to say the name, and I'm sure they don't mind. I'm going to be general. You know, sometimes we think telling people to flip off and flip, to get the flip out of our life is being authentic. Well, no, I think that's just being reactional. You know, and the conversation I had with this friend is, you know, it's when people hurt us or when there's something we need to say or, you know, if we are reactive, for me, being authentic will be to be able to go down underneath the reactions. Why am I reactive to this person? What's the reason for me not wanting them in my life? I can't stand them, and that's my truth. I'm just keeping it real. You know, when you're doing that, you're in confusion. You're in a space. You're in the emergency room getting ready for real healing. So now, rather than going off and cussing somebody out and really giving them a piece of your mind because I'm just going to be authentic. Life Coach Adi said, no. Go underneath that. What is making you reactive? Why are you so angry? Why are you giving them a piece of your mind? When you get underneath that, you can get in touch with, they betrayed me. They hurt me. I didn't like the way they treated me. I didn't like how they spoke to me. They make me feel less than. Now, I get the spiritual truth. Nobody can make you feel less than without your permission. Let's not even go there. Let's not do a heady stuff. Let's do a hard con. Let's have a hard conversation. So it's instead of just saying, I'm a loving from a distance because they just bring drama, that lets you know there's more to be done. So being authentic is to be able to say, you know, when they're around, it's almost like I feel like they go out of their way to hurt me, and it makes me feel uncomfortable. It's painful. Just speak your truth. That you acknowledging your humanity. Now, in having that conversation with the person, they may come back and say, you know what? I didn't mean to do that. That wasn't my intention. Or the, I don't know what you're talking about. You're just too sensitive. Well, sometimes you just got to let people be who they are. But you deal with the healing. And the truth is, if you speak your truth, I'm talking about personal truth here, the experience of humanity, if you speak your truth, one thing is guaranteed, that you will be set free. Because sometimes pain is prolonged because we can't even speak it. it hurts too much. Sometimes it hurts too much. We can't find the words. It's wordless, like Tamara said. I like that. That it comes out in tears. But it must be expressed. So when you speak your truth about a situation, how you felt, what came up for you, you can set yourself free. And then from there, create a boundary. Say, you know, you hurt me. I didn't like the way you treated me. You betrayed me, and I'm healing from that. And right now, I just need to take some time to do my own healing work. That's being authentic because you're recognizing that you are in control. Now, I talked about this. I'm going to use the same example because I can't think of anything since the show. Samantha asked, can you tell us about a time? Ooh, speaking of time, can you tell us about a time when you weren't in touch with the truth of who you are and what you did to find your place? Since the last show, which was Wednesday, I think, I can't think of anything. Well, let me see. I can't think of anything where I can say I felt like I wasn't being authentic. Because I can really say conversations that I've had has been pretty, you know, been pretty real. I've had some real conversations in the last few days. So let me use the same example I used last week. It's the idea when I was talking to a friend a little over a week ago, and there was some, I was sharing with them what they were moving through and what was coming up for me, and I didn't say exactly what I was hearing to say. I said it partly, but I sort of changed it a little bit. So I was trying to, I didn't want it to sting, because in my mind, I think if I said exactly what I'm feeling and hearing and sensing, that it might sting. So I was trying to change it a little bit. And I woke up the next morning. Actually, it's the morning of the show. Your security is in your authenticity. And it just came to me how I wasn't being authentic. And I recognized it. So I acknowledge it. And I said, okay, I can see. I'm still a work in progress. So there you have it. I guess now I am recycling. Yeah, okay. I think we have one more question, right?
You're laughing at me. Do you have time for it? Because you're funny, Life Coach Today. You're intuitive, and so am I. But sometimes our wires get crossed, and that's okay. I'm just wondering if you have time for it, and do we want to save it for tomorrow?
Let's do it. We can squeeze it in while I find the next song. Let's squeeze it in.
Okay. Dear Life Coach Today, this is anonymous, by the way. I'm in a same-sex relationship that I've been hiding from my family, and I haven't been home for the holidays in quite some time because of it. I'm ready to reveal myself, but I'm not comfortable in my own skin about it. I'm working with someone in the community about it, but I wonder what you might have to say from a life coach or metaphysical approach.
Hey, simple. Stop hiding. You emailed as an anonymous. You're not comfortable. You're hiding it from your family. You're hiding. You're hiding from yourself. That's I can stop right there, but I'm going to go a little bit deeper.
Stop
you
right
know,
there.
Yeah, I could just stop right there. You're hiding. And the truth is you can't be helped, supported until you're willing to come out. Pun intended and not intended. You must be willing to come out of the closet of your own consciousness. It's even, you know, yeah, I understand the challenges with same-sex, well, from a straight man's perspective. I understand the issues that come with same-sex relationship, but I will also put to you that it's a little bit more than that. And even, I won't do that. But so the fact that you emailed and saying anonymous, it's this whole thing about hiding who you are, hiding what you have to say, who you are as a human being on this planet. You're hiding. Do you want to step out of that? You know, you said you're working with someone in the community about it. Okay, good. But I wonder what you might have to say from a life coach perspective. It's time to get someone to support you to face what you're hiding from. And I will tell you this. Once you develop the courage to meet the you that you're running from, oh, my God, there's so much freedom. You will fall in love with yourself. Man, you talk about same-sex relationship. You're going to have a same-sex relationship with yourself because you realize you're free. You have to reintroduce yourself to yourself. Everybody got issues. So whatever you're afraid of, it's okay. Who was it saying J.D. Messenger was telling us the other day? Your pain is your purpose. This, what you're hiding from, get work from a therapist. You said you're working with someone in the community. Get the work done. Go to a therapist. Yeah, just be willing. Be open to deep work. Open to doing the work. And enjoy your relationship. Your parents, family members, they'll have to do whatever they do. If it wasn't a same-sex relationship, there'd be something they'd be tripping about. Okay? So set yourself free. Begin your journey of coming out sexually, emotionally, spiritually, and just be you. You know, I know it sounds simple, just be you. Be you requires action. You matter. You count. There's a reason you're on this planet. And we need to know what that is. And more importantly, you want to know what that is. Celeste. Is that Cleo clapping?
Cleo's clapping applause. Meow, 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 meow.
All right.
I'll post a picture of it.
Yes, please do that. Please do that.
Thank you, Life Coach Today. And can you tell us briefly about your experience hosting the Sounds of Soul? I had a wonderful time. There were folks who hung out with us and everything, and it's a beautiful way to enjoy you.
Well, the Sounds of Soul, for me, it's so much fun. I listen to myself and I shake my head and go, man, you're something else. But it's also an expression. There's so much happening that it's kind of scary too. You know, the daily thoughts. Every day when I see my daily thoughts come out, I'm like, oh God, I'm nervous. Is this people really liking it? Is it really working? And then people told me how great at Hillside. You know, so I'm expressing myself in a different way, and it's kind of scary, but it feels good at the same time. Talking about hiding, I know that my life depends on expressing what I have, even while I'm afraid. So by saying yes to what I have to share and give, someone even asked me to autograph the daily thought yesterday, and I just jacked that up because I'm like, autograph, really? I hope she felt the spirit of what I wrote. But anyway, I'm grateful to have a space to express myself, and I stand for others to be able to find the courage to be more of who they are. So we can talk more about it tomorrow. I don't know.
We'll see.
We're making room for more love. That's all it is. Thank you, Celeste. It's time to go.
Right.
It's time to go.
Peace.
thank you. Peace out, homie. This is Esther Nicholson. Never be the same. When you allow yourself to face yourself and say yes to you, you will never be the same. To find out more about Esther Nicholson, her website address is Esther, E-S-T-E-R, Nicholson, Nicholson.com. Never be the same. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. I'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow's topic is making room for more love. Making room for more love. Are you? I'm out of here. Be loved. Be true to yourself. And allow yourself to be loved. Peace out.
What?
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.